Hey, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Really, really was interested in talking to you about it, so I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for wanting to talk to me.
Well, as you might imagine, people that produce shows, they have a lot of writing experience. Here on our little show, we do a majority of the writing. So the writing aspect of things like films and TV always really interests me. Just for some background, would you be able to tell me a little bit about yourself? I know that you're a writer on The Magicians, but I don't know very much more beyond that.
Yeah, so I am half Korean. I was born in Korea. My dad was in the Air Force, and he was stationed in Korea when he met my mom. And they got married. We were married for a while. I was born there. They got divorced while we were stationed there.
Oh, okay.
So I ended up growing up in Korea until I was 18 years old. And then when I moved to the States, I have such a weird background. I started working in comics. So I worked for Marvel Comics as a colorist for a while. And as I did that for about 10 years I worked on books called Runaways, Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Lizard, Mary Jane, World War Hulk. I got to a certain point where, having grown up in Asia, I had more of a diverse genre exposure to comics, mm-hmm. that I was getting a little bit of spandex fatigue. So then I just started writing web comics so that I could work on things that weren't superheroes. And that was kind of when I was really bitten by the writing bug.
Oh, okay.
I had this realization that part of the reason that I loved coloring comics was because I was a storyteller at heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing some webcomics, and then I ended up making the commitment to retire from doing art in comics and going full bore to grad school. And I went to the American Film Institute, and shockingly, I wrote Finding Ohana there. And I wrote a pilot that got me staffed on The Magicians there, so that led to where I am now.
Oh, that's incredible. From what you've just shared, it doesn't sound like you've lived here at any time or
no.
But tell me about your connection to Hawaii. Do you have relatives or have you come here and spent time here?
Yeah, I've been there a few times. It's interesting because I so much of me went into Finding Ohana, even though I'm not from Hawaii, mm-hmm. And a lot of that came from the fact that, I was an American who grew up overseas, and then I came to the U.S. and had to understand what that meant. To explain to people that was an American who went through culture shock is a weird thing, because a lot of people don't fully understand what that meant.
Right.
So since moving to the U.S., I moved to Louisiana to go to college, and I did not fit in there. Going from a metropolitan city like Seoul, where I went to school on base, and I had this very multicultural experience over there, growing up, right outside a military base, but also going to school on a military base, it just was nothing like Louisiana. So then when I left Louisiana, I moved to Florida for a hot second. That place didn't fit me either. My sister moved to New York. I moved to L.A. And New York and L.A. felt similar because, there's a big Korean population in California, and then New York is this metropolitan city that, on its surface feels very much like Seoul. But then the first time I went to Hawaii with some friends who were from Hawaii, I had this amazing feeling it felt familiar.
Wow.
That place felt familiar to me because it was, there was a multicultural feeling to it. It was, not just because there was a military base there, but it was a mix of cultures and a bunch of people who were, mixed race. Because when I grew up on, the military base I was on, the majority of us were mixed race kids from the Philippines who were half black, half Korean, half white, half Korean, It was just a mixture. And Hawaii was one of the few places where I went where I was oh, I can totally feel I understand this place and I belong here.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
It does. And I love that about here. I'm born and raised here, part Hawaiian, part Chinese, and a lot of other little bits of other ethnicities. But I love that people can come here and they feel at home. I love that they experience the many different cultures that we have here, and they feel connected. I love that whenever I hear people say that. Going to the script for the film. I haven't seen it yet, but I was invited to the virtual premiere on Saturday, so I'll be able to watch it at that time.
Yay!
And I'm super excited. My kids are excited for it. They love what we've seen in the trailer so far. And I've been reading all over the place that it's Goonies in Hawaii. I don't know if I like I hope that I hope it doesn't offend you that people have boiled it down to that. But if that's accurate, that's pretty exciting for me. And
yeah. I'm not offended by that at all.
Okay.
That was actually the inspiration for
it. Okay, that's awesome because I you know, Goonies was a huge part of my childhood, and I would have loved to have you know, gone on a Goonies adventure here. So tell me like where the idea for this script came from.
So when I got into AFI, like I will never forget this. I was hanging out with some of my friends who had gone. They were excited for me to go, and they were like, what do you want to write when you get there? And I just remember saying, like, I want to write Goonies in Hawaii. Like, I love that movie. And I'm sure you feel a similar way. Like, Ke Kwan being in Indiana Jones and Goonies was a huge thing for me.
Because
part of my love for those movies, it was, like, the first time that I could kind of see myself in the adventure.
Yeah.
So, like, I, more than anything, the thing I wanted to write were, you know, movies that appealed to not only me, but like 15-year-old me, like the kind of movies that I would have loved to mm-hmm. see as a kid and a teenager. And just like, I tend to write to like past me a lot because I feel like that's what makes me happiest, like entertaining myself. And I think that like the thing that I loved about Goonies is the adventure of it, but I also love telling identity stories. So the idea of being able to write a script about, you know, an Asian American Pacific Islander girl kind of understanding where she came from mm-hmm. appealed to me as somebody who went through a similar sort of process, you know, like moving. Not to spoil the movie too much, but the main character, you know, she has a single mom who raised her in a metropolitan city who then goes to a place where she suddenly sees herself and kind of like understands where she came from without having a ton of frame of reference before. And like, I grew up in Korea, so I got very much my Korean culture. But again, when I moved to the U.S., I didn't realize at the time just how Korean I was until I moved here. Like, I remember buying movie tickets and bowing. So there were just like little things like that where it was an interesting thing to be able to write the adventure that I really wanted to see as a kid, but also kind of a personal journey of discovery for myself, and to marry those two things together is what this movie is.
Oh, that's so exciting. I remember thinking to myself that would be cool to do as a kid. And then when National Treasure came out, I had another similar thought. I'm like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if we found some buried treasure somewhere in the Ko'olau's or something? That would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? When I was a kid, I just wanted to go look for treasure.
Yeah.
So why not write that?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. One other thing I was interested in is, can you tell me what the journey was like to go from completed script to completed film?
Oh man, it was wild. So when I wrote this script, and I feel this way to this day. When I wrote this script in grad school, I was in a weird place where I was kind of frustrated because I was trying to write a bunch. It wasn't the first script I wrote when I got to grad school. It was one of the last scripts I wrote. I was in a weird, frustrated place where I just wanted to write something that made me happy because I was so frustrated with how hard writing is, because writing is hard. And you know this, right? Like if writing were easy, we'd all do it. And so I wrote something to make myself happy. And in the end, I ended up with a script that I really loved. So then I get staffed on a television show, and that ends up being the job that pays my, you know, pays my bills. This script floated around for a little while, and I got some meetings based off of it, but all of the meetings made it very clear to me that like, nobody really thought this movie could get made for multiple reasons. It's not like the cheapest movie to make. And then on top of that, like it stars, you know, 12 and 16-year-old Pacific Islanders. Mm-hmm. And they were like, who do you cast in those roles? So I was just like, okay, cool, whatever. If this doesn't sell, that's fine. Then Netflix was interested. And it was a really interesting process because the executive who bought it, who wanted to buy it, Janet Wu, she loved it because what she was looking for was her, you know, own version of, like, Indiana Jones. She was like, where is this Asian American or Pacific Islander Indiana Jones? Like, I'm looking for that script. And nobody was writing this script because nobody was making those movies. But I wrote that script because I wanted the same thing that Janet wanted.
Yeah.
So she was interested in it. My agent sent it to her. She read it. And then before they wanted to buy it, they asked to have a meeting with me. And I had a meeting with her. And I was very clear with her where I was just like, I would love to sell this. And at the time, we were also, Jude Wang, our director, was attached to direct it if we ever found a home for it, because Jude also was a fan of Indiana Jones and was like, I want to make this movie.
Awesome.
The thing that I remember saying to Janet was like, I was just very clear with her where I was just like, I want to get this movie made really badly. The only thing I want to make sure is that you're not going to whitewash this thing.
Yeah.
And she it was cute. She had a moment where she looked at me. She was like, girl, why do you think I want to get this movie? I was like, okay, cool. You get it. And like, so at that point in time, you know, we pulled the trigger, Netflix bought it. And then at that point, Jude and I together started meeting producers and figuring out what producers worked. And Jude, like, at that point took the football and ran with it. Like, as soon as I sold this to Netflix and Jude was attached to direct it, I have to give credit where credit is due. Our director, like, took it forward and made sure it, you know, and made it to the very end. But yeah, that was the process. It was a bananas one. Like, it felt very much like I had written a script that was never going to see the light of day. And I was totally fine with that because, like, the adventure of writing the movie was fulfilling enough to me. But then the second that it had a real possibility of getting made, that was when it got, to this day, I'm a little amazed it exists.
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah.
When did you guys shoot? Was it in 2019?
Yeah.
Okay.
We shot 2019, towards the end of September-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, September of 2019, they started filming, and then it was like, I think, 3 months. No. Maybe it was August we started shooting. I'm losing track of time. But yeah, they shot for a few months in Hawaii, Thailand, and New York.
Awesome. Awesome. Going back a little bit to what you were saying, that you had a condition that they wouldn't whitewash the script, thinking about how, you know, that might have happened maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago, do you get a sense now that there's more opportunities for stories about Hawaii or different cultures to be made for the big screen or for TV?
Yes. I mean, I think the most important part more than anything is that you find the right people, because like there, just as much as there's a chance for these movies to get made, there's still a chance for them to like progressively be pushed back into something that you didn't intend it to be. And some of that stuff you have control over and some of it you don't. Luckily in this case, like part of the reason that I was very clear with my executive in the upfront was like, I didn't need this money. Like, obviously I wanted it. Like, who doesn't want to sell a script? That's money.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, like the reason I wrote this was never for that reason. The reason I wrote it was so that 15-year-old me had a movie to watch that I was in love with. So I think the important thing for people to understand is that, yes, these movies can get made. You have to make sure you also get them in the right people's hands. And that is honestly part of the tricky, like some of the trickiest parts of all of this, is that the right people on the right film will make something amazing. The wrong people on a good script might not yield a good movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I had just one last question. You've seen the film already?
Yeah.
Okay. And what are your impressions, you know, as I imagine, I know when I do something, when I finish a podcast or finish a show or something like that, I always feel like I put all this energy into it. Like, it's almost like a child, like I had another child and I want to, I want to see it and I want to see how it grows and how it affects other people. After watching the film, what was your reaction? Do you feel satisfied? Was it like they you know, they did it right? Do you feel accomplished? What was your feeling after watching it?
I'm still in awe. Yeah. Like, I've seen it 3 times now, and I'm still in awe. And it's incredible because, like I'm very proud of this movie. I'm proud it exists. I'm proud of what we, you know, what it looks like in the end. But I'm also in awe of how many people are involved in it. Yeah. And when I say that, I don't just mean, like, how many people actually worked on it. This feels like such a collaborative experience. Between my director and I, like, I did a lot of rewriting towards what my director had in her head. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of things that she and I went back and forth on in terms of story about what we needed, what we could have, and what she really wanted to add to the story. And I was able to fold all that in for her. And then on top of that, you know, like, our actors, Alex Iono has some incredible ad-lib lines in there that, like, I feel bad because I'll get credit for some of the comedic moments that he's 1,000% responsible for, that, like, you know, Jude gave him the ability to, like, you know, take some runs where he, like, ad-libbed in moments. And then, you know, Branscombe, like, had things he wanted to add to his character that, like, I was like, who am I to get in your way? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, by all means, let's add all of that. You know, so, like, watching it is incredible for me because it feels very much like I know what I contributed, but I can also, in understanding that, see what everybody else contributed to it. And it feels very warm to me that everybody put a piece of them and a piece of, you know, their own hearts into this, and I can see that. So I'm hoping other people see it too.
I think it does show. I just, from even from just the trailer, I could tell that there's a lot of heart in the film. You know, you were talking about Alex. Does he play the older brother?
Yes.
Okay. I love that line in the trailer. And my family, we're a big CrossFit family. My brother owned an affiliate out here. And so when he says that he only went to one CrossFit class, we were just dying.
I just want you to know that was an ad-lib on his part.
That was?
Like,
oh.
That's what I mean by a perfect example of, like, that moment in the trailer. Like, when I saw it in the movie, I laughed. I didn't script that. He just said it. So, like, there are definitely several moments where, like, action. Alex and Brinko in particular, they added ad-libbed moments that are just so delightful. And it's just like, they play the character, but they let a huge part of themselves come through. And it's just good. Like, it's just, it's all delightful.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that was the questions I had for you. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And we will likely air this. I think I got to work together the interview with Branscombe and Kelly and yourself, but we'll air ultimately what comes out of this. I believe we have it slated for the day of release, and if you awesome. Need me to shoot you over like a link to what we air and that sort of thing, I can get that to you.
I would love that. Thank you so much. And thank you again for talking to me. Like, I know my schedule's a little bananas right now.
I really appreciate it. You know, writing is something that I've always done. I've only been able to do it professionally for a little while now. So I have a huge admiration for those that write, especially for film and TV. I mean, that's my first love. So I'm super honored to be able to talk to somebody who has written a script, especially about Hawaii, and had it made and excited to watch the film.
I love it. Like, I hope you like it as much as I feel very lucky because not every writer, especially with film, because the director ends up being the person who ultimately like handles the vision. So like there are times where directors will completely rewrite writers and like writers can't do anything about it. But like Jude did such a great job. And like, I'm like so lucky that my first and possibly, you know, only movie ever made, like I'm very proud of it.
That's awesome. I hope you get more films made. But I imagine this one will be a bright spot for you no matter what happens.
Oh yeah, completely. The fact that this thing exists is incredible. Like you if you had told the grad school version of me that this was going to happen, there's no version of me that would have believed it. Cause it just, you know, it's a far-fetched thing to think that something that you write while in school actually becomes a real thing.
Yeah, I believe it. All right. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great evening. Super stoked to see the film. Take care.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.